You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Travel.
18, no, my maths is terrible. 13 minutes before 2 o'clock. Welcome back to the Azania Musaka Show with me, Gugs Mhlunga. As mentioned just before the break, of course, we know international travel to and from South Africa has been open. In fact, it's just been over a week since the South African government announced that South African borders would be completely open with the removal of the red list. Of course, the red list was those countries where it seemed as if their handle on the COVID-19 situation was less than great. So quite large parts of Western Europe are on that list. The US, which we know is essentially the global epicenter for COVID-19, was on that list. But that list has now been removed. And so quite literally, the world has opened up to you if you have a bit of money and a bit of time and perhaps, I guess, an appetite for a bit of risk for international travel. And I want to know if you have decided, if you're going somewhere outside of the borders of South Africa, you know, what kind of plans you have in place, what kind of backups or things you've had to consider if you're going to be traveling. I know there's been quite a change or some changes to your international travel insurance, how much you need to travel to certain countries. And you can give us a call on 011-883-0702. Your SMS is on 31702. Joined on the line by travel correspondent Gabby Brondani. Gabby, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
So if you are thinking about going somewhere and you have a bit of money and time, what are some of the things you need to consider? Because you can't just, you know, book a plane, book an Airbnb and just get on with it. It's quite a complicated process traveling right now, and rightly so.
Yeah, so it does take a little more thought and consideration and a lot more planning than pre-COVID times. So one of the most important things to bear in mind is when looking at what destinations are open and receiving travelers, and one of the most important things to bear in mind is if there are quarantine measures in place. So you don't exactly want to plan to go on holiday somewhere where you are going to be expected to quarantine for 14 days and you won't be able to sort of sightsee and that kind of thing. So some of the destinations that are open to South Africans at the moment without mandatory quarantine measures are, you've got Dubai, you've got the Maldives, Mozambique, Turkey, and a few others. So there are some options. Some don't require visas, or some require visas before you enter, or you get visas on arrival. Another interesting thing to note about how the travel process has changed just in terms of international travel is the whole journey from the time you arrive at the airport up to boarding the planes. So for anyone who has traveled domestically, the process at the airport is largely the same when it comes to international travel. For anyone who hasn't traveled yet, they've got a lot of really strict touch points throughout the airport from the time you arrive, just double checking your temperatures. They've got thermal scanners at the various entrances. There are sanitization stations throughout the airport. One main difference for international travel is that Terminal A at O.R. Tambo International Airport, which was for international flight check-ins, is now completely closed.
Mm-hmm.
So that area is a complete ghost town. So all of your check-ins for international flights are now being done in the Terminal B departure hall, where your domestic flights check-ins are being done from. Now, at this section, you've also got Perspex shields, sort of separating the crew from everyone checking in. Everyone is wearing masks. When it comes to passport control, there are x-ray machines and body scanners and that kind of stuff, just to limit touching. Once the passenger arrives and once you receive your boarding pass, you will not be expected to sort of touch any other device or anything like that until you get onto the plane. When it comes to boarding and catering on board, this is something really interesting. I recently spent some time at O.R. Tambo and was fortunate enough to sort of go through the experience of seeing what happens on board the plane and how the boarding process works. So anyone who has traveled before, you would probably remember that boarding a plane was previously done based on classes. So now that sort of doesn't happen anymore. Airlines such as Air France, KLM, you've got your Emirates, all of the major airlines are boarding from the back to the front, mm-hmm. which is quite a big difference. So that at least limits the amount of people that would be passing each other on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then in terms of once you are on the plane, you know, sort of what can you expect? I know some international airlines insist, as many of our domestic, I think all of our domestic airlines, masks are mandatory for the duration of the flight. So if it is an 8-hour flight, 10 hours, you will have to keep your mask on for the whole flight, even while you're sleeping.
That's it. Correct. So the masks are proven to be one of the most effective ways of sort of limiting the spread of the disease. So once you're on board the plane, before you've even got on board the plane, every single aircraft that touches down in South Africa is disinfected with the highest grade disinfectant that has been approved by civil aviation. I know the Air France KLM flights, it's approved by the European Union Aviation Safety Agency as well as Boeing. So that was quite an interesting thing to see. So basically the plane from top to bottom, from back to front, is wiped down and sanitized with a spray 4 times. So every single surface of the plane is disinfected before anybody steps foot on the plane.
And then also planes have the benefit of the HEPA filters. I know a couple of months ago, a Transport Minister, Fikile Mbalula, tried to explain why they're so important or how they work. Do we have any insight as to, you know, the how effective they are in dealing with, because for many of us, you know, we've caught the flu on a plane or you thought you've had a scratchy throat, but these filters are quite powerful.
Super powerful. So what the HEPA filters do, it renews the cabin air every 3 minutes. And what this does, it filters out 99.9% of the smallest viruses, including the coronavirus. So what's really, really important to note about these HEPA filters is that cabin air is not circulated around the aircraft where it's sort of like circulating old stale air. What it's actually doing is air is sucked outside of the cabin using vents in the floors. It's passed through the HEPA filters, it's mixed with fresh air from the outside and injected back into the air outlets and the individual vents. So it's actually moving in a vertical movement, which actually protects, there's almost protective barriers between the rows, making it unlikely that the virus could pass between passengers. If there are people sitting next to you, that is why it is just an extra safety measure, just to keep your mask on, keep sanitizing, keep washing your hands and all of that kind of stuff, which is, just general responsible behavior during a pandemic.
And in terms of things like travel insurance, how has COVID changed, you know, how much travel insurance you would be required to get before you travel? You know, things like, do you need to make provisions for, in some countries, I know there was mandatory quarantine by the state and it comes at your own cost. So, you know, what are some of those expenses you need to anticipate if you're traveling?
So travel insurance is probably the most important thing to factor in when you are booking your trip. One very valuable thing to note is that a lot of the airlines, if not all of the airlines, are actually including some form of cover or flexible booking policy directly with the airlines. So speaking from personal experience, having booked with Emirates, they have actually got a policy where they will cover your expenses should you contract COVID or be sort of exposed to COVID in any way while you are traveling. And that covers you for, well, I think it's 30 days. So at least you've got that bit of peace of mind. You also want to be aware of what are the change and cancellation policies about the flight tickets you have booked. Most of the airlines have relaxed and sort of eased what their change policies are. So if for any reason you need to change your dates or you're not feeling comfortable to fly because of a particular situation that has maybe changed, you can contact them and they'll allow you quite a long period in order for you to change your dates if you need to.
We've got Peter in Pretoria with a comment on traveling during COVID. Peter, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, Peter.
Yes, it's very interesting. Unfortunately, a little bit late, my daughter is traveling from the US, returning to South Africa, you know, for the first time before COVID, and we went through this whole exercise to find out, you know, what to do. Now, one of the challenges we've had was the labs are so overloaded that they can't really give you a guaranteed period that the test would take.
Mm-hmm.
So because of it, we couldn't then actually confirm that she would be flying on the date that the flight was booked. So we first tried to find a lab that can either do it more quicker or at a guaranteed date, but we couldn't. And then we started looking at the insurance, and it's surprising because many of the insurance companies, you know, sell their insurance as COVID included, and then when you started look at the terms and conditions and ask them, but you listen, it's, if I now have to miss my flight because I don't have a test, is it included? And then they, you know, suddenly you find out that it's not included. So one must very carefully go through the terms and conditions. And I actually called one or two of the insurance companies, and then I realized, but, you know, it's a marketing effort. You know, they're trying to capitalize on people taking out insurance, but they're actually not covering it in the, when you go and look at the details and actually confirm it with them telephonically, as we've done. So ultimately what we've had to do is to first get the test, and then we had to extend the flight, you know, by a day or two because the test results were not available at the time. But one of the concerns, and maybe your guest can comment on that, whether the conditions to accept the testing, is it related to the date of the test or the date that the application was submitted for the test? Because, you know, that will take 5 or 6 days to complete.
Yeah.
It wasn't sure. That's something that I'm concerned about at the moment. I'm not really sure which date is going to be acceptable, you know, when she arrives.
Yeah. We're going to have to leave it at that, Peter. And just very quickly, Gabby, so the test, the PCR test, it is 2 days from when you need to fly. It can't be older than, it depends. It's 2 to 3 days. Is that correct?
Yes, it's max 72 hours, actually. So it is, yeah, just to be safe. But I think for anyone who is a little bit unsure or does have any questions to understand exactly in terms of like the updates and that kind of thing from a travel perspective, the South African tourism websites and their Facebook page is normally quite up to date with any changes and the latest information. So social media, yeah, their social media channels, they do tend to update. And if anyone does have any questions, Google will definitely be able to answer it and to get in touch with the Minister of Tourism's team if need be.
Mm. Thank you, Gabby. That's where we need to leave it. That is a travel correspondent speaking to us about international travel in the time of COVID.